Let's talk Bernie Sanders, if we can. David Hawkins, editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, one of the smartest guys about Congress in the world. So let's start and ask you this, Bernie Sanders, the last time we talked, you thought that Elizabeth Warren, should Hillary fail, might be the candidate, gender-wise, good for the Democrats. But Bernie Sanders has been out there filling up stadiums, having people yell, Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. And he's coming up in the polls to where he is either going to beat her or on track to do that. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it is, this may be a case of somebody like me who lives in Washington, covers Congress, pays attention to the Senate every day, having a very different experience with Bernie Sanders than those who go into those stadiums and hear his populist war cry. In the Senate, Bernie Sanders has been in the Senate now for a long time. He was in the House for a long time before that. I think it is safe to say he has not really been much of a playmaker over the years. Two years ago, was an exception. He was the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. He got a pretty big bill done to address some pretty big problems at the VA with their healthcare system and waiting times. That was an exception that sort of proves the rule, which was that as a legislator and as a policy shaper, that has not been Bernie Sanders' thing. He has been a professional, a senatorial gadfly, a voice of one, a caucus of one, somebody whose main objective in the Senate has been to, challenge the status quo, not to try and work within it to get stuff done. So I say all that by way of confessing that maybe my view of the guy is a worthless one, or at least is not as important as how he's coming across on the stump.
Well, as a professed David Hawkins fan, and as a guy who loves to challenge you, let me ask you what exactly Barack Obama did when he was in the Senate.
He didn't get much accomplished in his, you'd say he was a senator for 4 years. As a practical matter, he was really only a senator for about 2 years and a couple of months before he more or less put his Senate career aside and started running for president. But when he was a senator, his effort was to try and do some legislating, or at least at the edges. He was trying to operate within the system. He was not an outsider crusader. If anything, his people who were friends of Barack Obama's and on his side say that he tried hard, and it was the Republicans who knew the guy was going to run for president and really wouldn't work with him as much as they might have otherwise. But he had a short Senate career that at least was distinguished by some efforts to try and get some things done.
So let me ask you a question that has been perplexing me in the middle of the night a lot. Let's just say by some incredible fluke, Bernie Sanders becomes the Democratic nominee and Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee. What would be likely to happen?
Boy, I've been trying to figure that one out, too, because it seems like it's gone from, statistical zero to maybe 10% chance that that'll end up happening. What would happen? I think that Donald Trump would get elected president. What I think.
Based on what middle America preferring?
Well, based on the fact that he, Trump, is more of an ideological chameleon who could massage his general election message in a way that would appeal to not just the angry white male voters who are now the base of his support, but, some polling shows that he's not doing nearly as bad with Latinos. He's doing no worse with Latinos than Mitt Romney did, despite his rhetoric, and that ultimately the country is looking would be more inclined to go with a centrist Republican than with a very unambiguously populist liberal Democrat.
Yeah, Lass and Alec, I'm afraid I agree with you. And I'm a big Bernie Sanders fan. So what are the people in the Senate, the Republicans in particular, thinking about Trump? They've got to be scared to death right now.
I think they, I mean, all the Republicans or just the other, the four who are running?
No, I'm talking about all the Republicans. There was a story in the Times as we speak today that his idea that we should increase taxes, particularly on the people who are running hedge funds and some of the others and offshore businesses should be raised. That's got to offend some of the status quo guys.
Right. It does. It does offend plenty of the status quo guys. I read that story with great interest as well. And my initial thought was, you know, well, maybe this is the 12th self-inflicted wound that's finally going to do him in. I mean, there have been so many as we speak. I think I've counted 11 that you different things that he said or done, everything from his insult of Megyn Kelly to, you know, to Mexicans are rapists, on and on and on. He's done a bunch of these things. Maybe this is the one that will really do him in if the Republican moneyed interests and corporate interests say we can't have a Republican out there who will so break with orthodoxy as to talk about raising taxes. Maybe this will be the end of it. But I think at the moment, yeah, they're increasingly concerned. They have gone from thinking he is a gadfly annoyance to a real threat.
It's so interesting because David Hawkins, he says, I will, and he keeps saying, I will do these things, almost as if there's no such thing as a Congress.
Yes, well, right. I mean, if you think that it's an excellent point, Alan, which I'm glad you made, which is that, you know, there's all this anger among Republicans at Barack Obama for using his executive authority, you know, on everything ranging from, you know, you name it, the super important stuff down to renaming Mount McKinley as Mount Denali. But yet there doesn't seem to be at this point much Republican anger at Donald Trump for speaking as if he would be sort of a unilateral executive who would have all this authority. But you're right. He Trump, part of his appeal seems to be that he is willing to, he comes across as speaking obvious truth in a simple way. That does not often translate into governance. It's certainly, he mentions very little of a relationship with Congress. He has, to my understanding, no one in Congress who has actually endorsed him, although there is a senator from Alabama, Jeff Sessions, who went to Trump's big football stadium rally in Alabama wearing a Make America Great Again cap a couple of weeks ago and apparently had some hand in writing Trump's immigration policy paper, but who is yet to endorse him.
Does Trump have a problem with the Republican establishment in the Senate?
Oh, I think he has a problem in that he has absolutely no relationship with really any of them. I mean, he has no built-in reservoir of goodwill. He has given to a few of them, including he's actually given money in the past to Lindsey Graham, to Ted Cruz's super PAC. Didn't give to Rubio. He actually gave to Marco Rubio's opponent when Marco Rubio first ran for the Senate. So he's been a donor in the past to a handful of them, more to the Democrats than to the Republicans. He's given to Gillibrand, he's given to Schumer. So they don't really know him. He would have no. It's sort of a tabula rasa, and I think if you're in the Republican establishment, embodied by the Republican, the Mitch McConnell Republican Senate, you're scratching your head and saying, I've never had to deal with somebody like this before. I don't know how we do it.
When we come back the next time, David Hawkins, I want to continue this discussion about Trump just a little bit more. We've been talking to David Hawkins, editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column covering Congress. He is the most knowledgeable person I know about the United States Congress. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Alan.